Welcome to the Not So Basic Training Podcast, featuring Suzanne Gust. And now, here's the Not So Basic Training Podcast.
I know a couple that are friends of ours, and they went to Disney with their four-year-old. They did what most people do at Disney. They took their four-year-old, they stood in line. You don't actually, I think, see many attractions. You spend the majority of your time at Disney standing in line for a Coke, standing in line for an attraction, and they were doing just that, standing in line. They were relating a story to me about their standing in line because they'd been there about 20 minutes and they looked down and their four-year-old was missing. It's got to be a terrible feeling. Look down, you call his name. Where is he? You can't see him. Nobody's seen him. You don't know how long he's been gone. The mom in this situation described to me, I turned and I looked and all I could see was a mass of people going by and no four-year-old. I said, what did you do? I was so panicked. I went to the first person who looked like they worked for Disney. I grabbed their arm and I said, my child is missing. And they did the most amazing thing. They said to me exactly what was going to happen next. They told me they needed a description of him. They needed a height. Just told me to show him how tall he was on me, what he was wearing. They wanted to know what he was wearing right down to his shoes. They described to me what was going to happen. They were going to call around the park with his description. It was vitally important they knew how tall he was and what shoes he was wearing, because if he had been kidnapped, they would change his clothes, cut his hair, change the color, but they typically didn't bring new shoes for the children because they're difficult to fit. And they can identify him by the shoes that they're wearing. They're going to radio around this description in the park, and everyone's going to be on the lookout for him. And the woman described to me this. They told me, in 10 minutes, if we don't find your child, we will shut the park down. That was amazing to me. You know what's also amazing? I don't hear of many children being taken at Disney. You don't hear about it because they find the children. They have a pretty good game plan. So here's what their game plan was and what kicked in. They told the mom, we need a description. They did exactly what they said. They radioed around the description. They found the child in less than 2 minutes. They heralded the parent, we found your child. And then the woman described to me, they let me talk to my child. They said it was to calm down the child, but I'm pretty sure it was to calm down me, the parent. They also described where my child was currently located. But in addition to handing me a map of where they were located, they walked me there. I asked them, why did you walk me there? And they said, because upset parents get lost. When they got to where their child was having the time of his life. He was trying to figure out how to get lost again. He's probably eating some Mouseketeer sickle. He's got a new hat on, formed a bunch of friends. And the mom says to me, we're going back to Disney every year until he's 18. That's the first lesson in a game plan. If you have a game plan, meaning that you know what to do when something goes wrong, you are going to build such incredible loyalty with your customers that you're going to have an awesome organization. Let's look at Disney and what they did. They had a game plan. When that child was missing, you got the feeling that no matter who you would have approached at Disney, someone would have kicked in the exact same game plan. You know what? You would want to hear that as a parent. You would have some measure of comfort. You're still very upset your child is lost, but you would have some measure of comfort that it seemed like someone knew what to do. Can you imagine if that mom walked up to the first person they saw, grabbed the arm and said, my child is missing. And the response was, oh, that's bad. Maybe I should get a manager. Let's think about your organization. Are you absolutely sure that if something went wrong, something that's so predictable it probably goes wrong every week at your place, are you sure that every single person knows how to respond to it? Because you get the feeling at Disney everybody knows how to respond to it. But I don't get that feeling everywhere. Disney has great game plans. And by having great game plans, they provide excellent feeling of service to their customers. And you know what? This doesn't just apply in retail. This doesn't just apply to an external customer. This applies to your internal customer too. For instance, it is pretty common that someone is going to not get their paycheck at home. Do you have an internal way of responding to that? That's something that's going wrong and everyone should know what to do next. If someone doesn't show up, if a press goes down, if anything happens that's predictable, do you have a game plan? Do you know what should happen next? What Disney does by having great game plans is they create an incredible loyalty with their customers, just like you could with your customers or your internal staff. They also have everyone speaking the same language, so they've created a culture of recovery and atonement and doing the right thing. And they also get customers to come back and talk about them because it makes a great story, just like I just told you. Here's the three things that you need to have to form a game plan. Number one, you need to brainstorm what can go wrong at your organization. Number one, what can go wrong? The second thing you'll ask yourself is how do we prevent it? Because the best thing in the world would be don't have the problem in the first place. But not everything is prevention. You cannot prevent everything. So you need to have a game plan when it does go wrong. You cannot prevent a child from getting lost completely at Disney. You probably couldn't ever completely keep them from being kidnapped, but you can have a game plan that kicks in instantly if something were to go wrong. So let's go through these three steps with the example I just gave you. What can go wrong? A child is lost. How do we prevent it? Well, in doing some studies, Disney found out the majority of the children get bored when they're standing in line, adults too, but they take off when they're in line. So what Disney has done is made clear space outside of those roped areas. If you look and you're standing in line for an attraction, you will see that there's about 100 feet of clear space. No high, tall garbage cans, no big bushes. Within 100 feet, because parents will usually notice the kids have taken off. Within 100 feet, they notice they're out there. Catch them quick! And most kids don't get lost because they've taken that action of prevention. But you also heard number three. They had a very clear game plan. If a child is reporting missing, boom, the game plan kicks in. You don't call a manager. You don't ask permission. You kick in the game plan. Let's look at some other Disney examples and other industry examples and industry examples from my company. But let's start with Disney. Can you imagine what could go wrong at Disney? Pretty much anything. You have really high hopes as a consumer when you go there. You come in and you park in their parking area. What can go wrong? You forget where you parked. Imagine that. That's really not a problem because I think they only have 32 square miles of parking in the Magic Kingdom alone. So you wander around for 3-4 weeks, look for your white rental van. I'm sure you'll find it. Probably want to figure out a way to prevent people from forgetting where they parked. If you've been to Disney, you'll notice that they name their parking areas. So you park in Snow White. You don't park in 157A. So one way of preventing it is giving you a name. The other way they prevent it is they say the name of the place that you're going to park three times on your tram ride in. So they will say you parked in Snow White. Don't forget you parked in Snow White. And sometimes they even sing it Snow White. I can't sing, but that was my version anyway. People tend to remember goofy things, so they say those things. That's the prevention. I'm sure it prevents lots of people from forgetting where they parked. However, it doesn't prevent all the problems. Imagine you're a family. You walk out of the park. You are hot. You are tired. You have spent more money in 12 hours than you thought humanly possible. In fact, you bought three Cokes for $5 a piece. You've seen every character Disney has to offer. You walk out to the tram and they say, "Where'd you park?" And you, I don't know. It was a character, which doesn't help you much. Well, their game plan, and it's pretty interesting, they park you in timed areas. And the tram drivers all have maps. It shows from 9 to 9:15 they parked Snow White. From 9:15 to 9:28 they parked Goofy. From 9:28 to... And so the next obvious question the tram driver asks you is, what time did you come in today? The interesting part is the majority of the people can name within 5 to 10 minutes of when they came in. And when confronted with how do you know exactly when you came in, the mom usually responds by saying, "We were supposed to be here at 8:30 when the doors opened. We were going to be the first ones in. We didn't get here till 9:07. And they know exactly when they came in. So imagine you're hot, tired, hungry family. You walk out, can't remember where you parked. Tram driver says, "What time did you come in?" Mom says, 9:07. And they say, "Does Snow White sound familiar?" Man, does that feel like great customer service. Let's do some other Disney ones. What can go wrong? And you have to imagine that managers at Disney are brainstorming these things all the time. They have whole meetings around what can go wrong, what can go wrong, what can go wrong. What can go wrong? Dad locks the keys in the trunk. You may think, why is it Dad? It's never Mom. It's always Dad. It's got to be him. So Dad locks the keys in the trunk. How do you prevent this? Well, Disney puts up little signs. Hope you have your keys with you the whole time. But that doesn't prevent everyone from locking the keys in the trunk. So what's the game plan? Now imagine what's going on. Mom's shoving the kids in the back seat. Dad's throwing all the stuff that you've accumulated throughout the day in the trunk. You're trying to be the first out of the 100,000 people to hit the Pizza Hut you saw on the way in. You want to be there getting some dinner. You're getting everything in the car. Boom goes the trunk. Up goes Dad's hands. Uh-oh is the look on his face. Mom immediately knows the uh-oh look, so she turns to him and starts flailing her arms in the motion of, "What were you thinking?" knowing that he's locked the keys in the trunk. Well, by the way, they're not the only two people that are involved in this experience, because Disney has cameras on the parking lot, and they just saw the international symbol for Dad locking the keys in the trunk. It is slam, Dad's hands going up, Mom's arm pointing at Dad, and the kids piling out of the car going, "I've got to go potty." No, you don't have to call anyone at Disney. They see that international symbol, they send out a tram driver and a helper. Tram driver, little tram driver with a key or a locksmith, comes out and opens the doors for you. In addition, since there's two people, they can take your kids to the potty. Feel good? Feel like service? Feel like they had a plan? Make you want to come back? Yeah. Let's take it outside of Disney and let's go to a story from my past. I was at Nissan literally just a couple months. I was so excited to be there, and I was trying to, you know, do the best thing I could possibly do in my career and say the right things and eat the right things and be wonderful. And I got the nod one day from the executives. They walked by my office and said, "Suzanne, do you want to have lunch?" Oh, man, 2 months into the job, I get to eat with the muckety mucks. I'm so excited. They're taking me to the Gandhi Dancer in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Beautiful place, very expensive. The whole time over there, I'm thinking, oh, I've got to make good conversation and ask open-ended questions and not eat things that get stuck in my teeth. And so I'm there doing all the right things. I have the best meal of my life. I've made perfect conversation, haven't embarrassed myself, nothing's stuck in my teeth. And at the end of the meal, my supervisor leans over to me and says, "Suzanne, why don't you put it on your credit card and expense it on your expense report?" Well, we just had a $300 lunch. I don't think I had $5 open on my credit card. Oh, my goodness. What do? You ate the right thing. You said the right thing. And now you're going to totally embarrass yourself by saying you can't put it on your credit card. Well, 2 months into the job, you're not smart enough to even say anything. What I did was I handed my credit card to the waiter. I was thinking, good luck, buddy. I started praying that the phone lines went down and they couldn't verify my credit. But, of course, none of those things ever happened. The next thing that happened is the waiter came up to me and said, "Suzanne, Gust?" And I said, "Yes." "You have a telephone call. Please follow me." And I went out into an area with the waiter, and he said, "Ma'am, your credit card was declined. Let me give you your options. We can put it on several credit cards and split it up. There's an ATM around the corner. We can call and get another credit card from someone else that will work. Or you could just leave me your driver's license and come back and pay me cash at the end of the evening or whatever time is convenient for you." Oh, my goodness. I wanted to hug the waiter. I wanted to leave him the biggest tip. I found a way to pay him. I called my mother and got her credit card, of course. Can you imagine the loyalty he created and how good I felt about the Gandhi Dancer? Now, let me ask you a question. Think about this. Is a credit card being declined a pretty predictable event in a restaurant? What percentage of waiters and waitresses have a game plan for handling that situation? It should be 100%. Should be a no-brainer. Every single person should know how to handle that. I guarantee you there's less than 1% of the people who do that job who have that game plan. So what can go wrong? The credit card can be declined. How do we prevent it? We put prices on the menu so people know how much they're spending. Did it prevent what was going on with me? No way. So they had to have a game plan, and they did. Let's take one from my industry, training. We're supposed to carry forms like sign-in sheets for the class and evaluations. What can go wrong? We have the materials, but no sign-in sheets and evaluations. How do we prevent this? We have a checklist. We go out with a checklist every time we go to do a training session. Does it prevent us all the time from leaving things? No. So what's our game plan? Janelle in our office gave us a standard book of forms. It stays in our car at all times. It's a master of every single form we would ever need. I get to a client, and I realize I don't have a sign-in form. I know I have the master out in my car. The client never feels it. Imagine Renee in my office. This is our standard procedure. What can go wrong? Renee's kids can be sick. Renee is a trainer for us. That's really not a problem. She's only got 1,000 people from all over several countries at the Amway Grand Plaza listening to her. She'll just call them, tell them to come back next week. That can't happen. She's got to be there. She's got to do the speech. Those 1,000 people can't do plan B. They're there for the speech that day. So what's our game plan? First of all, we call and try to get Renee's husband on the phone. He's not available. We'll call any other contacts she has. If they're not available, the next step in the game plan is an office staff member will pick up her kids from home, bring them to her house, stay with the children. Another office staff member will cancel all of her afternoon appointments and will leave a very specific note for her at the Amway. The note will say, "Your afternoon appointments have been canceled. Your son is at home with a staff member. He has just got the flu. He's okay. Please proceed home." The note will only be given to her after the speech, so we don't worry her during the speech. Our customer will never feel this. Our customer will only get great service. I've built incredible loyalty with two groups, my customer who didn't feel a thing, and my employee, Renee, who now thinks she works for an awesome company. Here's something you have to think about, though. That game plan can't happen in the heat of the moment. You had to have thought of that beforehand. You see, all of the staff members have to be able to sign her child out at school. You can't do that the day he gets sick. You had to think of that game plan beforehand. Let me give you some from other industries. I went to a pharmacy. It was in a hospital. And when I was down there watching their service, someone approached them and said they needed a prescription stat. It was for morphine. Now, if I were getting morphine, I'd pretty much want it stat, so I can imagine that they'd want it quickly. The technician in the pharmacy said, "Sorry, the computers are down." I thought, oh my goodness. I don't think if I was a patient, I'd care if the computers are down. I'd just care about getting that morphine. I asked the woman, I said, "Surely your computers have been down before. What do you do?" She said, "We wait until they come up." "Why would you wait?" She said, "Because we need certain information. It's got to be filled in before we give the prescription out." And I said, "Couldn't you write down the information?" She said, "Well, we need exactly what it asks for in the computer." I said, "Couldn't you make a printout so you could fill it in?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "How often do the computers go down here?" She says, "Every day." Why wouldn't they have a game plan for that? Have you ever been at a grocery store and all of a sudden the scanner doesn't work? They can't figure out what to do. There's no game plan. They stand there and look at each other. Every industry, anything that can go wrong, they need a game plan for. A great example is Aquinas College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was working with them, and the library director had an awesome idea. I asked her, "What can go wrong?" And she said, "Well, people who are citizens, not students, just local citizens, come to our library and use it all the time. They might come to our library, and we're not open because of school holiday. They wouldn't know about that because they don't get the student information to know when we're closed, but they've made the trip all the way over, and they probably think poorly about our campus if our library's closed." I said, "So what's your game plan?" And this is what she came up with. Every time the library closes, they put up a slip sheet, a sheet of paper that you can take with you. It lists all the local libraries, their hours of operation, their phone numbers, and directions from Aquinas to those libraries. Now that is an awesome game plan. So how do you use this information? First of all, it works great for departmental meetings. If you just made a list of the top 10 things you know are going to go wrong this week and you could prevent any of them and have a game plan for every one of them, you would make huge strides in improving your organization's efficiency, effectiveness, and loyalty internally and externally. Also, those game plans make incredible training documents. You know what your employees need to know the first week of their employment? They need to know what can go wrong and what they should do. We train them on what they're supposed to do. You know what? We should train our office staff on what to do when the copier breaks. We don't. We tell them how to use the copier, but they never trained on who to go to when it breaks or where the other copiers are in the building. They need to know as much what to do when things go wrong as they need to know what to do when things are right. Your customers suffer if your new employees don't know what can go wrong. If you look in other industries, there's lots of examples of exactly what I'm talking about. I'm calling these game plans. In the auto industry, they call them FMEAs. That's a big technical term. It stands for Failure Modes Effects Analysis. When they design a part for a vehicle, they will brainstorm every single thing that can go wrong with that part. Now, as a consumer, you want them to do this because you want them to prevent things like tires blowing out, for instance. If that's something that can go wrong, you want them to prevent it. They don't deal with game plans. They're called countermeasures. What do we do if that goes wrong? If I'm doing a brake assembly, what can happen? What can go wrong? The pin can come out. Is there any way to prevent that? Yeah, we put a stop on the back so it can't come out of your brake assembly. And we don't have to worry about a game plan. You don't want to deal with game plans when you're talking about brake assemblies. So this doesn't just apply to retail. It absolutely doesn't just apply to external customers. It applies internally as well. What can go wrong? What can go wrong is that someone in your company is not able to come to work and they're the only one that knows how to do payroll. Do you have a game plan? Think about how many things could go wrong and what are your game plans. It is a way to make your company as strong as humanly possible. You don't have to be the company president to do this. You can be department leader. You can be a family member and brainstorm with your spouse. What can go wrong? What can go wrong? Your child will be sick. Do you stand around and go, oh no, this is bad, or do you kick in the game plan? You probably do game plans quite a bit. Personally, I do lots of them. At work, they've helped me the most. I hope you benefit from this section and go back to your group and start brainstorming game plans.
This has been the Not So Basic Training Podcast. For more information, visit our website at notsobasictraining.com.
Produced by Converge Podcasting.